It's 8:50 on a Thursday morning. Joining us now in studio, we have a couple of members of the Northfield community with us, Rick Estenson and Pesha Kwas. Good morning. Thank you so much for coming in.
Good morning,
Jeff.
Good
morning, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
You are both citizens of the Northfield School District, I should say. I'm not sure if it's Northfield proper, but certainly the school district. And you have launched a Vote Yes campaign for the new school that will
Correct.
Be on the referendum. First of all, let's start off, I guess, by we've had you both on here before for various reasons.
Yes.
So give us a little bit of your background. Rick, do you still have, you don't have kids in the Northfield School District. They've all gone through, haven't they?
My kids are gone. They went through the school system, received great education, and now off in the world. So, but my wife and I remain here, of course.
All right. And Pesha, how about you?
Yes. Well, I have three kids currently in the district. I have a middle schooler and two kids at Sibley Elementary.
All right. Let's talk about the referendum. Of course, we tried last year, and Pesha, I think we had you on last year
to
talk about the school referendum that was on last year's ballot. And this one is quite a bit different, mainly
it
in...
It is.
$70, $80 million high school is
not on there.
Not on this. Let's talk about the things that you learned, though, from last year's referendum.
Well, I'll try and take that one, Jeff. Mm-hmm. I think that the school district listened to what the voters had to say last year with their vote, which was, first of all, favorable in terms of the operating levy, which is very important for keeping the school operating at a proper level for education, keeping the right number of students in the classroom and many of the things that we've grown to expect there. But they also heard that the high school was too expensive and that the community didn't quite feel it was ready to take on that sort of a debt. But what they did hear is that the approach toward the early education portion of that proposal last year did resonate with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, costing clearly a fair amount of money to build a new elementary school. People loved the idea that we were repurposing the current Greenvale to an early education center, which, of course, gets to those really young ones and gets them more ready to learn and therefore... sets them on a nice trajectory of learning for the future. And it also fixed up, this bond will fix up some of the other elementary schools to allow Sibley, for example, put about $7.6 million into that facility for some additional space. And I think the final thing is security. Even though we can't do everything we want for security, and I'm not sure what exactly everything is in this world anymore, we're definitely spending money on security in our schools, including our high school.
All right. Pesha, I'm going to move back to you and your family. Now, how old are your kids? Do you have kids at various schools?
I do. I have a seventh grader at the middle school and mm-hmm. a fourth grader and a first grader at Sibley.
Okay.
And what I would just say about this referendum is it is such a very different question than last time. As Rick said, it really focuses on our earliest learners. And what we've seen is that there are more and more kids coming into kindergarten here in town that have no preschool experience. And we have dollars from the state that we could use to help kids who maybe couldn't afford that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we had 49 kids attend preschool on a scholarship from the state. We could have had more. That equates to two kindergarten classrooms coming in with valuable preschool experience mm-hmm. they would not have otherwise had.
Now, having recently gone through that with your own children, the preschool, the valuable learning, what did you learn? Did they have, were they able to attend some type of educational, early education programs?
They were. We attended a great preschool, but not everyone has that opportunity, and it makes such a difference when we can get kids into our district, into our school, kindergarten programming, having had some of that experience from teachers and just knowing what to do in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just out of space. We are out of space both at that early childhood level and in our elementary schools. We don't have space at Sibley or Bridgewater right now to do any small group learning. I teach a couple of math groups at Sibley, and I go on the floor. I go in the cafeteria, mm-hmm. if I'm there at certain times of the day. I go in the hallway. I go in the vestibule. I mean, we just, and everybody does that. Teachers do that. There are teachers at Greenville teaching kids in a storage closet. We can do better.
Wow. Man. Once again, we're joined by Pasha Kwas and also Rick Estenson. They are with the Vote Yes for the new school bonding referendum. Let's go on to, in addition to those educational pieces that you'd mentioned, we have the school district offices are going to be changing around. Our community our kind of what used to be our Ed and Rec program is everywhere right now, getting those centrally located. What does that mean? What do things like that mean?
Right. I believe the plan is to, if this passes, then consolidate the district offices. So our superintendent will be housed and other district administration in the Longfellow School, which, of course, has been around for an awfully long time, is another example of a building that we've kind of repurposed over time. And this will be at another phase of that.
Boy, how many times has Longfellow been repurposed?
You know,
right.
Just in the time I've been in town, which is 27 years, it seems several.
It's been through a few, but it certainly does, is functional. And from what I understand, because it is an older two-story building, that's the most energy-efficient school in the property.
It is. It's a great building.
All right.
You know, that's a question we hear, too, with this is, didn't we just build Greenvale? Why are we rebuilding it? And I think the question, or the answer to that is that was done in the early 70s.
Yes.
And it was done at a time when people back then decided this open architecture was the trend for education. And so there is sound that transcends the classroom into the next classroom and into the central areas of that building that are making learning in today's style very difficult.
It is. We have teachers there doing some great, great things in that space. But the sounds of other teachers teaching and students working cooperatively and kids moving through the halls and bathroom sinks, they just travel through those open doorways and bounce everywhere. In addition, when you have a classroom that doesn't have a door mm-hmm. or walls that go all the way up and there's a lockdown, we have teachers there who have to take their kids, remove them from their class, and go find a room with a door.
Well, if you haven't gone through Greenvale, I believe the public is getting some tours.
Yes.
Right.
Am I correct in that?
Correct. They've had two, and they mm-hmm. have two more, including this a week from Saturday. The 13th, for those that are unable to make it during the week, they're doing a Saturday one.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I believe, the last Monday of October is another opportunity.
Yes.
And it's a tour put on by Sam Richardson, who's the principal there, and he does a very nice walking tour with the group. And then you've got the rest of the administration there to talk about everything, including the financing. And that's one other thing I'd want to add real quick, Jeff.
Yeah, sure.
That I think that's the other learning from the public is that it was too expensive, and how do we keep our taxes in line here? And so there's a style of financing used by a lot of school districts
mm-hmm.
That we're employing with this, or suggesting to employ in this proposal, that keeps our taxes just going up for a $250,000 home, which I know isn't everyone, but it's the average home in Northfield. It will increase just $27 from what they've currently experienced for the next 2 years. And you know, we can get into, anyone who wants it, all the details around how this financing works. And we're not saying that it's $27 increase for 20 years as the length of the bond. We're waiting for debt to drop off to allow those property taxes to then go down and then resurge a bit because mm-hmm. of paying off this bond.
So it evens it out a little bit more.
It evens it out. It does. Right. We're waiting for that Bridgewater bond to, or is it middle school? Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
That's going off here in the next two to four years, five mm-hmm. years, and that'll help.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
Well, can I just really urge people to consider what better bang for your buck can you get than spending $27 a year for the average house in Northfield to benefit thousands of kids. Thousands of kids for years to come.
Years to come.
It's a lasting impact.
All right.
We appreciate the time, Jeff. I think people are that I've talked to a little confused about what's this one about, what was versus last year, and so we really want to clarify for them that this is about early education learning. We've taken that high school off of the agenda for several years here. So,
and like last year, the school district, in my opinion, is doing a good job of making the information available and informing the public. As you'd mentioned, we have a couple of tours left of Greenvale School. And folks, if you haven't seen Greenvale, if you grew up in a different school district, you walk through there and think, what?
Yes.
It's an interesting building, no doubt about it. But I think that would work out well probably for early childhood and some of the programs that will be run out of there. But anyway, there's more information on the school district's website. You can get all that information, and it's out there. And please, look into it and make an informed decision.
Right.
Whatever decision you do make sure that it's informed and it's not done by speculation and
absolutely.
Rumors.
There you
all
go.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks
Jeff.
Rick Estenson and Pasha Kwas once again with the Vote Yes campaign for the new school referendum. Jeff, getting out of here. Hope you all have a very good day. Stay tuned. The Wayne Eddy Affair is coming up next. Wayne is on from 9 to 11 o'clock today. Here's news from around the state with the Minnesota News Network.
Minnesota News Network, I'm Tasha Radel. President Trump is in Rochester later today for a rally at Mayo Civic Center, spotlighting a high-profile race for U.S. House between Republican Jim Hagedorn and Democrat Dan Feehan. Carleton College analyst Stephen Scheer notes Rochester voters have less partisan allegiance than others in southern Minnesota.
In the first district, you've got a big group of moderate Republicans, well-to-do, well-educated in Rochester. And I think he needs to be very aware of that.
About one-fourth the population of the 1st Congressional District is in the Rochester metro area, making those voters an important swing factor in the November election. Ahead of the president's visit, the group KEER, Citizens United for Rochester Empowerment, holds a peaceful rally and march. Organizer Regina Mustafa.
Put out messages of unity, to embrace diversity, and